You're listening to Digitally Enabled, the human stories behind branding. This is the place to gain greater insight into the human side of brand governance. Join Greg Silverman as he sits down with branding experts sharing real-life stories of how they face digital issues along their journey. Learn how others are dealing with maximizing the power of today's technology and get valuable advice straight from your peers. Here's your host, Greg Silverman.
Welcome back, folks. Greg Silverman here on Digitally Enabled. Today, I'm joined by Vivian Chen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Vivian, we do these backgrounders on folks, and you have such a wonderful brand background, and you've enabled so many brands to succeed. But you're really doing something very novel and unusual in, let's say, the brand business community. Why don't you tell everyone what you're doing, your company, and a little bit of like how you got it started and what inspired you?
Sure. So my name is Vivian. I'm the founder and CEO of Rise, R-I-S-E. We are a digital platform that's enabling the next generation of people to build a kick-ass digital presence to get their next best thing. And a lot of the inspiration for this actually came from my personal experience of changing jobs, but also my experience in branding when I realized that so many people actually struggle with telling their stories about what makes them special, what makes them stand out. And in today's digital forward world, it's so important that we are able to articulate our why, our value proposition, what it is we bring to the table, because otherwise all of us are boiled down to a couple of bullet points on our resume, which really doesn't capture the essence of who we are, our potential, and all the things that make us who we are.
Yeah. And we rarely think about branding ourselves or telling our own story. I've been to the site. It's so inventive the way y'all present people's stories, a totally different idea. I do think you left out jobs and branding, you know, what you've done, but you've also raised capital as a female entrepreneur. I mean, so you had a career, you're doing great things, and all of a sudden you drop this idea. Can you tell the folks a little bit about what it was like to be inspired and then go get the capital to bring that to life?
Oh my gosh, Greg, it was so hard.
Yeah, I did it once. It was brutal, right?
It's so hard. And I laugh and I joke that this is my first time building a company. The next time I build a company, I will know better. I will know not to build a company, or at least plan into the roadmap, a global pandemic, a full-on recession, and a potential European war. So, you know, next time I will know better, but this time it's first time learning all these things.
It's a wonderful thing to raise capital on your why, right? Because you saw something in the marketplace that said this platform needs to exist. What kind of inspired you? What made you want to digitally enable human beings? Like, I work at Monogo and we talk about humanizing people and brands. You've actually built a platform for humans to be brands, to humanize themselves to others.
Yeah. I think the idea really started from when I became a consultant. And I actually started to put myself out there again and again in front of different types of customers. So you mentioned a little bit, my background comes from both B2C in terms of branding, but also B2B for technology. And so before I started the company, I was a freelance consultant for branding, product, strategy, you name it. And I had to figure out how to sell myself to these people. And a lot of times I was selling myself to, and most of the time actually, it was to CEOs, founders, people who raise hundreds of millions of capital, venture capitalists, huge global nonprofits. And for me, previously, when I worked in a company, it was all about heads down and do what you're told and don't do anything too crazy and outside of a line. But when it was time for me to put myself out there, it really was about explaining from my experiences, this is how I am able to solve your problem. It's a very different mentality than from when you're an employee. You're really there to help someone with their problems, with their challenges. And that's kind of the beginning of when I realized that everyone has a story. It just, we need to figure out how to tease it out and be able to help people tell their stories. Because even, you know, now when I look at people's resumes and I ask them what it is you want and what are you trying to say? And by looking at your resume, it's like, I don't actually see any of that. So what can we do to package your story together so that it makes people go, wow, okay, I understand why you're interested in this position or this field. and why you're uniquely qualified to do that. I think there's an angle for everyone. We just need to figure out everyone's individual angles. And this is something that we call do things on your own terms. You can't tell your stories in other people's words. You can't build a company in other people's blueprints. And going back to your question about raising capital, we very much so raised money on our own terms, meaning we were very careful with the type of investors that we went after, how we raised the money, and making sure that it was mission aligned in terms of how they want to build a company with us. I'll say it, we actually turned down a term sheet because we didn't feel like the investors were aligned with what we wanted to build. So this whole concept of being true to yourself and creating things on your own terms is something that we embody just not only as a brand, as a product, but also as a company.
Yeah, and it's a very important strategic moment that the people investing want to build your vision, not build to just an exit on their terms, because that can create a lot of dissonance. I read where you'd said most resumes you saw were still on a 1970s template. Unfortunately, I'm old enough to be on a 1970s template, or maybe not so unfortunately. I just really thought for our audience and why I wanted you to be on the show, so many of the people we're looking, who we serve, the thousands of people tune in, are brand marketers looking for folks, as well as there's folks listening in who service them. And I think this is a enabling technology that allows people to digitally enable the connections on value they want to have. So you have the vision, you raise the capital. Tell us what it's like building the platform. What did you learn about people and what their needs are? How's that going? It looks like it's taken off.
Thank you so much. It's definitely going really, really well. And we've been really blown away by the response. I will say building a product like building a brand starts with the people and getting insights from what it is that people want and what is your unique value proposition that makes you different. We have a very large competitor in the space, LinkedIn, which is the market leader. They are the Goliath, and we are the David of the Davids. We're so small in comparison to them. So then when we started asking potential users about what it is they're looking for, what are they dissatisfied with the market leader, we got a lot of really interesting responses. And just over and over again, we keep on hearing from people that when they go on LinkedIn, the feeling that they have is they feel pretty crappy about themselves, the comparison game, or what professionalism means in today's world. When you and I, we're not wearing suits anymore. Most people hopefully are not working in a cubicle environment. Yet on LinkedIn, in our resumes, it's still very much stuck in the past, in the 1970s. Most people use either Times New Roman or Garamond, or if you really don't give a crap, you use Calibri. You don't even change the font when you open up Microsoft Word. And we think there's so much more to people than that. So we ask people, what would it mean for you to be authentic? What would it mean for you to have a different professional profile, professional identity that is different than what LinkedIn has built from 20 years ago? And basically, when we create Rise, we create a brand that really defies all traditional interpretations of professionalism. We think people could come to work as their authentic selves in a playful way with low stress. How we started to think about the brand is, what feeling do we want people to have when they come on board, right? And we started off with the vehicle of what would it be like if we created a product in our stories where it feels like a small intimate party thrown by your friends and Rise is the host where it's like, come on in, Greg, right? Let me show you around. Over here, you can find the hors d'oeuvres. Over here, there's a conversation happening right here. Let me loop you in on what's happening over here. And oh, over here, there's a karaoke machine going on, right? Like, and really show you how to get involved in the community rather than feeling like you have to artificially put on this like persona of just to be quote unquote professional.
Yeah, no, I went to the site and it's its own experience. Building your own profile is its own experience. It's fun. It's playful. It's a completely different way of telling a story. And everyone is telling their story and it feels so unique and genuine. Really clever way to, because I think part of the digitally enabled economy is people finding people who need, you know, to do particular jobs and companies, finding people. I was really impressed by it. Of course, there's challenges, right? And I wondered if the challenge was convincing people to do it that way, or was the challenge something else around the technology? What's been the big hurdle to get over?
I think the biggest hurdle for us has been convincing an industry that's been doing things the same way for the last 50 years to do something differently. People know that like what you said, right? A lot of the companies that we work with, they recognize that something needs to change, but the system is so entrenched in how work used to be done that it's almost like moving mountains for them to try something new and different. We were actually talking about earlier today about everyone recognizes that judging people based on a resume or even a very short LinkedIn bio is not perfect. But because people use applicant tracking systems and they recognize certain fields, that it's almost like whatever tool you build has to match into whatever system they already have integrated into their workflows. So it's like, how much innovation can you do without touching the behemoth like Workday or other systems in which people are using, right? So it's like we're trying to chip away at it one piece at a time, which eventually it will change and it will happen. But it's almost like you're shifting one piece of the puzzle, but there's so many other pieces that needs to be shifted as well.
Yeah, overcome the inertia and the infrastructure that reinforces it. But networks always beat hierarchies, so you just hang in there. Hey, my final question is a simple one. I just asked you to say one word about digitally enabling branding, and why do you think of that word?
I think the future. I think branding is something that we live and breathe every single day. And being digitally enabled, we're all going online. We spend most of our times online. Even when we work, we're online. So for brands, the future is to be digitally enabled and to be have a powerful presence, not only IRL, but also online, and making sure that you can tap into all the power that digital transformations can bring.
Vivian, thanks for being on the show. It's joinrise.co, right? And future is the future of branding. You're a major ingredient to it. I wish you the best of luck. Thanks for tuning in to Digitally Enabled. See y'all next time. Thanks.
That's all for today's episode. We hope these insights from top brand managers help you as you face your own digital roadblocks. Remember that you're not alone in the challenges you face. If you would like to further connect with fellow elite brand managers, join the Beam community by sending an email to gsilverman@monogle.com. Thank you for joining us. See you on the next one.